cleansed from dross and free from self and sin. I want to talk like Jesus, graciously sign the words from him we hear. Words of life and hope for sinners, tender healing words of love and cheer. To serve like Jesus, willingly he came from heaven above. On the earth he lived for others, spent his life in kindly deeds of love. I would follow where he leads me, and he's bidding always do. Oh, I want to serve
Amen. What a powerful song. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We began looking this morning at Paradise Lost and then Paradise Gained. Genesis chapter 3. And shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge your presence with us tonight, and I pray that as we look in your word today, this evening, that we would think about that one day standing before you, and that we have just heard sung that we would think like Jesus, that we would talk like Jesus, that we would serve like Jesus. Father, please work in our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You think about that flaming sword which turned every way. I was told just recently that someone was robbed at first, and then this man later then heard someone out in his garage. And so the weapon that he happened to have was a sword. And when this guy come out of his garage and faced him, I think, if I was recall the details correctly, I think the guy lost his hands first. I mean, a sword is a pretty fierce thing, isn't it? I mean, you imagine that. Wow. So this flaming sword turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, and it just made me think about that. You wouldn't stick your hand out there to take that fruit. It would be gone. It would be gone. So as we saw this morning, man had a true paradise. Man cannot blame God for any of the hardships we face. Not for the weeds, the pain, the trials, not for the weather. I mean, as we're going to see tonight, man's sin is what changed the weather as well. So that's all part of Paradise Lost. But as I mentioned this morning, even in the midst of all this, when I was looking through this, I just was amazed at the grace of God. We deserve nothing. I mean, good. We deserve nothing good. We deserve a lot. Oh, well, we deserve hell. We deserve the fire of hell for our sins, what we deserve. But as I mentioned in chapter 5, Genesis 5:5, despite sinning and being barred from the tree of life, God still allowed man to live almost 1,000 years. I thought, wow. Genesis 5, verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So 930 years. I know I'm rounding off high there. He's 930. I'm saying about 1,000, but he was a lot closer to 1,000 than us. Amen? 930 years he lived. But how did man respond to that grace? Did man respond in a way saying, oh, wow, you know what? We deserve judgment and we deserve it immediately, but God is giving us almost 1,000 years of life. Did man respond correctly? No. Look in chapter 6, Genesis 6 and verse 1. Genesis 6, 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of what? All which they chose. I mean, they thought they were in the candy shop. I'll take this one, and that one, and that one, and this one, and this one, and that one. It's kind of like being up to Mackinac Island, and you see all that fudge, you know, peanut butter fudge, and marshmallow, and cherry fudge. I mean, all kinds of fudge, and it's like, which one do you take? Which one? I mean, that's what the way they were acting. So did they appreciate God's goodness and say, wow, I still have 1,000 years to serve God now? No. They thought they had 1,000 years to live for themselves. And they started taking all the wives they wanted to. And so in verse 3, God said, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God's saying, you know what? In 120 years, I'm going to judge man. And his life is going to end, except Noah and his family. So things are going to stop there. But verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every what imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You know where all the trash of Hollywood comes from? Man's wicked imagination. It comes from some man's mind. Or some woman's mind, somebody's. So it's just like that today. In verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So did man appreciate, even despite being put forth from the Garden of Eden, God allowed him such a long lifespan. Did he appreciate it? No, he just used it to sin more. And as I said, the weather still, you know, we talked about the Garden of Eden being a paradise, but I don't know if I just stopped and thought about this, but you know what? God, even after they were put forth from the Garden of Eden, a paradise garden, God still allowed worldwide paradise weather. It still had never rained on the earth. What it said in chapter 2 in verses 5 and 6 was true until the flood. In chapter 2 in verse 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So the whole earth, it did not rain until the flood. And so the whole earth still had a paradise weather even after they were cast out of the paradise garden. So, I mean, I was just amazed when I stopped to think about that. Man didn't deserve still paradise weather. I mean, what is it in Hawaii? It like averages 70 degrees year round. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you don't consider that paradise. Brother Wall called. We was still to do with the funeral, and he left a message on the answering machine. And Brother Wall, of course, has a good sense of humor. But he left on the answering machine. You know that it was just really, really cold down there. Let's see. That would have been Friday night in Haiti, yes. Friday night, he just, I forget his exact words, but I mean, he really did it up. Like, I mean, it was just really freezing down there. And then you knew the punchline was coming. It got down to 60 degrees. And so I wrote him back and said, yeah, we know kind of what it's like to be cold. I said, you take your number and take the 6 off. And that's what it was here at night or two. This week, it was 0. At least on our vehicle, that's what it was down to some of those times. But paradise weather, I just thought, you know what? Even in God's judgment, he is so gracious to give man paradise weather. And of course, as we mentioned this morning, part of the reason for that, and notice in chapter 1, Genesis 1 and verse 6. Genesis 1, 6. And God said, let there be a what? Firmament. You know, I read that for years, and I didn't pay attention to what the rest of the verses said. But, you know, you look at words, you don't know what they mean, and so you try to find words in the word. And so when you read the word firmament, you read firm. And you think of something solid. But the fact of the matter is, the firmament is not something solid. It's a vast expanse of, well, mostly nothing. Now you read on there. It says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so we may be thinking in our minds, okay, the firmament is dividing the waters from the waters, so the firmament is firm land. It's dry land. No, he's going to do that on a different day. You read on in verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were what? Under the firmament from the waters which were what? Above the firmament, and it was so. So it's not spreading, it's not dividing the waters horizontally this way, it's dividing the waters this way. It's the firmament, this is the firmament, it divides the waters from above the firmament and the waters which are below the firmament. And so what we're talking about is an expanse of water up in the atmosphere. You can do the Heaven Bible course we're talking about the first, second, and third heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere. The Bible talks about many verses where the birds flying in heaven. Well, there's probably a lot of people who hope there are not birds in heaven. But we're not talking about our dwelling place with the Lord. We're talking about the atmosphere where the birds fly. And then the Bible also talks about the sun, moon, and stars being in the heavens. And that would be outer space. So the first heaven would be the atmosphere. The second heaven would be outer space. And the third heaven is the heaven of heavens, is the dwelling place of God. And notice with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about that. That's where paradise is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul was caught up to the third heaven, caught up to paradise. So it lets us know what that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12, 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to where? The third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into where? Paradise, and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So it tells us here, verse 2, that he was caught up to the third heaven, and it tells us in verse 4 that that's paradise. So that's the dwelling place of God. That's where Jesus is making those mansions, and that's where we will go to be with him one day. So the firmament divides the waters above and below. So God had that canopy, that body of water above the earth, and it emptied out at the flood. And notice back in Genesis chapter 7, and that is when the weather drastically changed. The seasons now were much more distinct. Hawaii has spring, summer, fall, and winter, but the seasons aren't as distinct and drastic as ours. Genesis 7, verse 11. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the what? The windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It had never rained before. There was a paradise weather across the whole earth. So Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and their bodies did begin to age. But as we have seen in Genesis chapter 5, they still lived long, long lives. Methuselah, notice in chapter 5 of Genesis, Methuselah is the oldest recorded person. Genesis 5:27, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. So, I mean, he's getting close to 1,000. So even though man is cast out of paradise, the Garden of Eden, God still in his grace allows him to live a long time. And then in perfect weather, it never rained. That means it didn't snow. Just a mist watered the earth until the flood. And then things changed. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, man lost the Garden of Eden, and he was taken from the tree of life, so he started to age. But he still had so many blessings. But I tell you, when the flood hit, because man's wicked imagination, he wouldn't curb it. God judged. He sent the flood. And now man was going to lose big time more of what he took for granted. And it just makes me think, it's so easy to complain. And just what we have, we could lose so much. As we're going to see some percentages here in a minute. It just kind of boggled my mind. If man would have only known, if he would have only known what was coming upon him. So notice in chapter 8, verse 22, Genesis 8:22. After the flood, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and what? Cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God mentions it now, cold and heat. You're going to feel it now. It's like when that canopy of water was around the earth. Like I said, it was like a terrarium or like a greenhouse. Just really moderate temperatures, fairly the same. But after the flood, God warns them, you know, the seasons are going to be more harsh now. And notice what it does to the age expectancy. In chapter 9, verse 29, Genesis 9:29, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So Noah was 500 years old when God said, get building on the ark. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. And so here he dies at 950. So he was 600 years old when the flood came. So Noah lived two-thirds of his life in paradise weather. Two-thirds of his life to 600. The last third, he lived after the flood, where the seasons would become more distinct and more harsh. Notice what that did to the age of man. In Genesis 11. Maybe I shouldn't preach this. Maybe everyone will move south after this. He'll say, man, this is going to kill me. These Michigan winters are going to kill me. I'm getting out of here. Genesis 11:32. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. 205 years old. This is Abraham's father. So we've gone to Methuselah, 969 years old. Adam, 930. Noah, 950. And suddenly Abraham's father dies at 205. That is an age expectancy loss of about 80%, almost 80%, from 969 down to 205. Wow, what a drop. But that's not it. It's going lower, as we know. Look in chapter 25, Genesis 25. Abraham's dad lived to be 205, but Abraham wouldn't make it that far. In Genesis 25 verse 7, and the days, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, and 103 score and 15 years. A score is 20, so 3 score is 60, so you get 100, and then you have 60 plus 15, so it's 175. Abraham lives to be 175, and he dies. And notice what it says in verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a what? Good old age. At 175. And you may say, wait a minute, why are they saying Abraham's dying in a good old age? Noah died at 950. Adam 930, Methuselah 960. What are you talking about? He's dying in a good old age. And it says, and full of years. What's the deal? Well, the deal is you look in the Bible, after the flood, ages just drastically drop. I mean, it's just, if you could make a chart, it just falls way off. And the reason it's saying Abraham here dies in a good old age full of years, Sarah died at 127. She didn't make it near as far as Abraham. Now let's jump a little further. 2 Samuel 5. What about David? 2 Samuel in chapter 5. How long did David live? Well, we're going to see another drastic drop. 2 Samuel 5 and verse 4. 2 Samuel 5, 4. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. What's 30 and 40? 70. Notice then in 1 Chronicles 29. And let's see what it says. Did David die young? 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Noah lives to be 950. Adam 930. Methuselah 969. Abraham's dad 205. Abraham 175. What's the deal with David dying at 70? Look what the Bible says. 1 Chronicles 29. In verse 26. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 30 and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a what? Good old age. Full of days. What's the deal? Well, David here dying at 70, considered to be good old age. And the scriptures then will tell us that in the book of Psalms. 70 or 80, that's about what you can expect. 70 or 80 years old, that's kind of where it settled in. Some more, some less. But when I comprehended this, I thought, the grace of God. Even though God had thrust Adam and Eve out of the paradise garden of Eden, he still had allowed a paradise climate. He had allowed man to live almost 1,000 years. And you know what man did? He started picking every wife he wanted to. In his imagination and his lust, he went after that way of life. And so God had to say, you know what? It repents me that I even made you. I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth, except this man and his family, whom I have has found grace in my eyes. I thought, wow. And I just thought, it just made me really think. How much do we really have that we take for granted? So much. We could lose so much more. So David's lifespan was almost 93% less than Methuselah. Imagine that. If you had a chart of 100%, if you could chart Methuselah's life, David's would be way down here at about 7%. That's what sin. Well, but if we could make a real chart, we'd have to show infinity, because that's what it was. God created man to live forever. But man's sin then brought death into the world. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we couldn't even make the chart which shows what God's real plan for us was. It was to live forever. But man's sin, God barred him from the tree of life, and now his body began to age. But even though his body began to age, God was going to allow him to live to be almost 1,000 years old. But did man out of gratitude just come before God and say, God, what can I do? I have a 1,000 years almost to serve you. God, what can I do for you? What a blessing that you would allow me to live that long. No, that's not what man did. Man just used all those years to live for sin. And so God had to bring the flood. And now man's life, as I said with David, almost 93% less than Methuselah. And that's considered to be old, it says here. He died in a good old age full of days. And lest we think sin has bottomed out, no. As I mentioned this morning, you know, just think of America and what God has done for us. And think of the next judgment to come along in Genesis 11. I don't know how many of you have traveled much. How many of you have traveled to a different country? Okay, and I realize Canada's close, so you know, that's of course they do. If you go around Niagara Falls, you'll hear people talking in French. Actually, you'll hear people talking a lot of Arab languages too there and everything. But when you travel, I remember when we went on a missions trip down to see the walls, and we landed there in Haiti. And then trying to communicate at the airport to get a plane up to the plateau, and of course Brother Jerry Snyder was with us, so he had been there many times, and so, you know, he was trying to be the go-between there. But you know what? It's rough. It's rough trying to travel to a different country. It might be rough trying to travel to a different state sometimes. They talk a little bit different in some of those states too. But so God's going to put another a judgment in place, because in Genesis 11, verse 1, Genesis 11, 1, and the whole earth was of what? One language and of one speech. So man, his life expectancy is on the way down, and it's on the way down fast. Now this chapter just before we're going to, well, actually at the end of this chapter, this very chapter, chapter 11, is where we see that Terah dies at 205 years old. So the ages are plunging down. But man doesn't realize and appreciate just what he has been able to communicate with everyone. I know down south they say, you all. They used to laugh at me at the pharmacy when I'd leave work. I'd say, see you guys tomorrow. And they would just laugh. I don't know if it was in disgust or what, but one of the ladies there said, they can tell you northerners, you guys. It's supposed to be you all, you know, down there. It's you all. And I used to talk about getting some pop. They don't call it pop. It's soda down there. It's soda. So there was differences. But this is what caused it. Verse 4, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, pride, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have what? Imagine, there it is again, the imagination. The imagination has to be put in God's control. Has to. The imagination is something wonderful. I mean, you can create, you can be creative and think of something that someone else hasn't thought of, and you can start a business. You can make something very beautiful, or you can allow the old nature to control the imagination. And God, here it is again. Before the flood, it was the problem, and now before he confounds the languages, it's a problem. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And so God did that. So I just think, you know, they may have thought it was rough before that. Ages are really dropping, but now it's really rough. You can't communicate with anyone now in a different area. And, is that the end? Well, let's just look at one other one. In Ezekiel 20, Ezekiel 20. Is there any paradise left? You know, the always mild weather is gone. The paradise weather, that's gone. The long lifespan is gone. Being able to communicate with someone else. When we flew back in from Haiti into Miami, or Tampa, whichever it was, I forget which it was. I think it was Miami we flew into. It took a while to understand what they were saying over the intercom. I think the first language they spoke when we got into Miami was Spanish, not American. I thought, are we on American soil? Did we land at the right airport? I can't understand what they're saying. Ezekiel 20, verse 6. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the what? Glory of all lands. And then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they what? They rebelled. And on he went. And so God is going to cast them out of land. The Lord said here in this verse, and he will say it a little bit later down in this chapter as well, but he called Israel the glory of all lands. My grandfather went there, I think it was in sometime in the 70s, to Israel, and he brought back these slides and showed us. And you know what Israel was then and now, other than where they irrigate? It's nothing but brown rock and barren, desolate land. In fact, someone was telling me not too long ago that someone went over to Israel, and in fact, maybe that was the biography I was reading, but when he come back, he said there's nothing but dirt and rocks over there. That's it. But at one time, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. What do you need for milk? Brother Jim was talking about cows. Cows have to eat that green stuff. Don't ask me how they can eat green food and have white milk. Brother Snyder used to allow his cows to get into the pumpkins when he was through with the pumpkins, and it tinged the milk orange. So I don't know why the milk isn't green when they eat clover and alfalfa, but it's white. So to have cows, you've got to have a lot of lush green stuff to eat. And of course, honey, you've got to have flowers. So Israel, when God brought the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, the promised land, it was lush green and flowers. I mean, it was a beautiful place. But you look at it today, it doesn't look anything like paradise in Israel today. It looks like a forsaken land, other than where they irrigate it. That's what it is. And so I just stop and think about America. In closing, let's turn to Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. Are there some things that really concern us about America? Yes, they do. Why? Because of God's warnings. As I mentioned, you know, what other nation in the history of the world has been so blessed of God? First, it would be Israel. And secondly, in history, I would say it'd have to be the United States. We've been so blessed. But what are we doing? Forgetting God. Forgetting His Word. Leviticus 18. 22. Leviticus 18, 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Well, they're calling us bigots. But we say this and they're calling us bigots. Well, as we've seen, a bigot is someone who goes on their own opinion. We're not against sodomy because we're going on our own opinion. We're against sodomy because that's what God says. It's an abomination. The bigots are the people that are pro-sodomy. They're going on their own opinion. And someday they're going to stand before God. It kind of bothered me yesterday after the funeral. One of the people that was there talked to my wife, and she is of a different type of church and that really teaches a false plan of salvation. And the lady was telling my wife that she didn't think I offended anyone by the funeral message, you know, from all these different churches. And you know what my first thought was? Oh no. I've got to stand before God someday. What did I say wrong? I mean, and so I'm thinking back through here. I made it clear that it's only through the precious, pure, sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can be saved. I made it clear it's not by works. I made it clear that you must repent and turn from your sin. And but my first thought was that that wasn't a compliment because, and I don't know where that lady really stands. That lady claims to be saved, but as Brother Johnson preached, don't they all claim to be saved? But my thought after that was said, I thought, oh no, I've got to stand before the Lord. Must be I didn't emphasize something correctly, or some of those people from other religions shouldn't have been too happy. But I don't know. I don't know. I tried my best to make it clear. Maybe she just wasn't listening. Maybe that's why she didn't get offended. I don't know. I'm not sure. But as we think here, the judgment that's going to come down. Verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is what? Defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. And so I think of America when I was thinking about God's great grace. Yes, man sinned and God banned him from the Garden of Eden, that Garden of Paradise. But God still, in his grace, was so gracious to them, allowing them to live almost 1,000 years after that, still keeping a paradise climate around the whole world. But man took it for granted. His imagination again got him in trouble. And so God sent the flood. Now ages plummet. But still, God, in his grace, leads his people to a paradise land, Israel, lush green. Beautiful flowers. But did man appreciate it? No. Right here, Israel went after the same sins that the people before them, and God cast them out. And I think of America. I mean, times are hard. Times are what we would call hard right now in America. But you know what? They're nothing like they could be. Remember the Dust Bowl days? Maybe not personally, but have you read about them? I mean, it could get that way again. God in his grace, allowed crops to be grown again in America. But this whole thing just made me think, despite man's wretched imagination and sin, even in God's judgment, he still shows us so much grace. And do we appreciate it? Or do we just shake our fist at God? We have so much still, so much for which we should be thankful. And we could lose so much, yet God could cast us out of this land. He did his own people. He did Israel. Why should he be more indebted to America than his own people, Israel? He's not. If we commit the same sins, we'll receive the same judgment. We'll be thrust out of here. They talk about this is the Indians' land or the Americans' land. It's God's land. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This isn't our land, and it isn't the Indians' land. It's God's land. Oh, I just pray that God would help us. So, we don't have anything to complain about. I mean, even in our most difficult times, we don't have anything to complain about. God is so gracious. so gracious to us. May we be thankful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us. Lord, as we look at the history of mankind, true paradise, living forever, man sins, God judges, but Lord, you are still so gracious, even in your time of judgment of man. But man didn't appreciate it, went on in his wicked imagination. You judged again. But even in your judgment, you give them a paradise land, but they still didn't appreciate it, still didn't follow your word. And so you had to judge again and scatter them upon the face of the earth. Father, I pray you'd help us to apply this personally. Lord, help us to be thankful for what you've given to us. And even though we have to face the pain and the sorrow and suffering because of sin that's entered this world, you still have blessed us so much. Lord, help us not to complain, but help us, Lord, to use whatever length of life you do give us. Please help us to use it serving you and to follow your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.